Hello and welcome. I'm Patrick Campbell, Senior Editor of Practical Cardiology, and I will be your host for this special ACC 21 edition of the Practical Cardiology Podcast. Our guest today is Dr. Laxmi Mehta of The Ohio State University, and we will be discussing the ACC 2020 well-being study and getting a closer look at how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted cardiologists and cardiology care professionals. During our conversation, Mehta, who presented the study at ACC's 70th Annual Scientific Session, dives deeper into the results and gives perspective from her own experience on what burnout looks like in her professional life and what she thinks would be the best strategies to mitigate burnout as we move into the post-pandemic world. For more on the study, here's my conversation with Dr. Mehta. Dr. Mehta, so just first, could you take me a bit into what you think the main nuts and bolts of this study are?
So we, you know, ACC developed a clinician well-being task force over the past year to kind of look at what is the current state of well-being within our college members, as well as what are the things the college can do for as an organization for our members. And as part of that, and I chair that task force, we decided to continue our survey of our members. And we presented data last year at ACC 20 about burnout, but this year specific is about COVID. And so what we did was we asked the members using the Mini Z survey. We had about almost 1,300 respondents, and we took cardiovascular members across the globe. And so that included not just US cardiologists, but international cardiologists, as well as US fellows in training and also cardiovascular team members, such as nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and so forth. So total of almost 1,300 of them across the globe. And we asked them, you know, reflect back, what do you feel like burnout, were you burned out or just highly stressed or not burned out pre-pandemic? And then at your personal peak of pandemic, were you burned out? Because across the globe, our peaks have been different. And I mean, unfortunately now we're talking about, is it the first peak or second peak or third peak, right? So that's the other little bit of caveat. But anyhow, we asked them at pre and then what they perceived to be at peak pandemic. And then looked at a few other things about how they felt their needs were being met or not met, and were they taking care of COVID patients. And what we found was that all cardiovascular professionals across the globe, if we put them all together, they said about 20% of them said that they were burned out pre-pandemic. And that nearly doubled to about 38% at peak pandemic. What we saw was there's some variation in the groups such that U.S. cardiologists, they went from 27% up to 40%, and trainees went from 21% to 43%, so they doubled. CVT members in the U.S. went from 23 to 55%, so they more than doubled, and that might be because they provided more direct patient care at the bedside, perhaps, or you know, they may have had less control in their environment or their choice of schedules and things like that. So less flexibility. And then our international members, they went from 10% to 21%. One of the caveats is you know, it was international from different areas within the world. So there could be regional variants on where they were in terms of COVID, as well as like what the output is in terms of if they had to be directly involved with COVID or not, and depending on what their health system structures were like as well. But clearly we saw that there was a near double into influx in terms of people experiencing burnout. The other things is that there were some issues that happened as well. So there was about, I think around 40%+ that said that there was a salary reduction with COVID-19 because of the pandemic. And there were higher rates of salary reduction amongst those who reported being burnt out than those who didn't. But it wasn't immune to the non-burnout group either. There were differences also in whether someone provided direct patient care, in-person care to a COVID patient. Also, the association of not having adequate PPE was an issue. And when we asked about like organizational leadership support, the healthcare workers that were burned out were more likely to say that they didn't feel that the organization provided adequate support for their basic needs like food, lodging, or that their children's needs of, you know, getting adequate care for their children and then emotional needs. And, you know, many of the clinicians that, you know, you're taking care of COVID patients, but the issue is you've got a home to deal with too. And so people were scared, right? Rightfully so, of taking that back home. And then you couldn't even find coverage for your childcare because people were in lockdown too. And so that was problematic too. And so there were questions related to did people feel that they were getting timely information, or did they feel like their healthcare organization provided them prepared them effectively, and they didn't feel burned out respondents were more likely to say no, they didn't get timely information and they didn't feel prepared to take care of these patients, and they didn't even feel that their healthcare organization was listening to them. And so, you know, those are what I would say is the top points that we showed, that one in five people, cardiovascular professionals prior to the pandemic felt burnt out, but that it increased to more than one in three at peak pandemic. So this was a nearly doubled, that people's basic needs, emotional needs, childcare needs were not met during the pandemic. They didn't feel that they were supported, I should say. And then putting it all together and taking a step back, that we need to improve the work environment so that we're promoting the well-being, not just of our patients, but the cardiovascular workforce, so that they're able to better care for their patients and themselves.
Thank you for that. And now, the first question that really comes to mind when we hear about this data is, what type of disparities are we seeing in terms of gender-based and racial-based disparities? Gender-based disparities are always sort of at the heart of issues, no pun intended, when we talk about the cardiology space. And in the past year, it goes without saying that we've seen a lot of more attention, a lot more emphasis placed on racial justice. Do you have any insight into how the COVID-19 burnout has particularly impacted these groups?
Those are great questions. We have not completed our subgroup analysis in that regards, but we know from our prior data, as well as just a quick overlook of it, that women tend to report burnout more than men. So that, and that stayed consistent in this, but we didn't look at the other organizational things yet. We also know mid-career cardiologists tend to burn out at higher rates than the earlier late career cardiologists. And then in terms of racial and ethnic differences, that the numbers are small, so we haven't gone back and looked at that. But there's stay tuned. There's going to be more about how people felt in terms of if there was, you know, with all the racial and ethnic issues that came about in the US over the last year, like did they feel that their organizations could do more and stuff? So we're going to have more of that data when we do further subgroup analysis. But those are great questions. But clearly, even pre-pandemic, there is a gender difference that exists. What's also interesting, and I don't know if you saw this, but on Monday of this week, we published a paper in JACC, Journal of American College of Cardiology, on the global prevalence and impact of hostility, discrimination, harassment in the cardiology workplace. And that was released online on Monday. There too, you know, 67% of women felt that their workplace or work environment was hostile in terms of having emotional, harassment, sexual harassment, or discrimination. But men experienced it too, about 37% of men as well. But there's something in our workforce inherently as well that is not supportive of it. And so that article just came out, and I'm happy to send it to you if you'd like, but that just came out on Monday. And on Tuesday of this week, the American College of Cardiology and American Heart Association, we released our statement on professionalism and ethics, our consensus statement. And I too was involved in both of these articles that came out to kind of talk about the things that we need to do from a diversity and inclusion perspective. And then in the consensus document, in addition, we talked about strategies that are recommendations to improve well-being, even organizational strategies.
Thank you for that insight. We definitely look forward to seeing more about it. But now, how do you think one of the small silver linings of this pandemic is it's sort of etched away all the surface and allowed us to take a deep look underneath at some of the practices or what we had been doing before? How do you think this pandemic has helped identify avenues to improve well-being of clinicians?
Well, I think with the pandemic, it allowed people to speak up about burnout, right? Because burnout existed before the pandemic. It didn't just suddenly happen with the pandemic. The virus didn't create it. But it allowed it to come to front stage. It allowed people to talk about mental health issues. And even if you didn't have a mental health condition, the fact that we could talk about we're scared, we're anxious, we fear death, those became acceptable for us to say that we're vulnerable, right? And I think that happened. It also unearthed the ugliness and the negative consequences professionally, not just on patient outcomes, but also professionally on increased substance abuse amongst those who burn out, and that's in medicine in general, as well as depression and suicide rates, which are just unacceptable to be. And we need to be supporting our whole entire healthcare workforce on that to have that mental space. So I think that some of that was unearthed with the COVID 19 pandemic. But wellness is not going to go away, and I think we need to embrace that we need to be well. We need to find professional fulfillment. Organizations have a role. Organizations need to be actively supporting and being accountable for the psychosocial health of their workforce. That's one recommendation. And much of the investment that healthcare organizations should be directed towards the working on organizational factors to improve the work environment, where so that we're focusing on improving the culture, improving the efficiency, and it's not just about let me fix you, let me fix you, employee. So you need to go do yoga, or you need to go learn how to manage your stress. That's not the only thing, because suddenly if this many people are struggling, it tells you, like, I mean, suddenly our society didn't, our healthcare force didn't become unstable, and that there's things that need to be changed in the environment. So I think that needs to be done. I think that organizations need to be regularly assessing their employees. They need to have key leaders within their organizations that people can kind of target to and say, like, hey, I need help. And because sometimes what happens is people don't feel comfortable telling their leader that something's wrong. And so they need safe spaces to have those organizations. And then I think we need to be actively as clinicians, as healthcare organizations, as medical societies, really be advocating for the mental health of our profession, and also to improve efficiencies such that we're not burdened with the unnecessary tasks that we don't need to do. So there's a lot of regulatory stuff that ties us up. There's a lot of administrative typing stuff that ties us up. Let me be with the patient. Let me take care of the patient. And those are the things that we need to be working on as well.
All right, thank you for that insight. And now, Cardiology, one of my favorite things about covering it is that it, and not in a negative way, but it has this built-in competitiveness among cardiologists, cardiology care professionals. It seems that everybody always wants to push the envelope, wants to be on the cutting edge of research, wants to be on the cutting edge of changes in care. How do you achieve a balance between competitiveness with still caring about your optimal well-being, especially someone like you who is an incredibly accomplished cardiologist?
That's a great question. I think yes, we are pretty competitive, and we strive for more and more, and you can get into a rut with that. I surround myself with people that want to take things to the next level, and I surround myself with the teams that want to do that, and so that we work together. And so if I'm falling behind, someone else is lifting up the end. And so working in a close-knit team is essential, whether that's at work here or whether that's, national papers that we write or moving the field forward. But some people don't have that, and that's a problem. And I think that we need to be supportive of each other, and we need to be inclusive and making a less hostile work environment, as we discussed. I make sure that I find time for my family, and I have children, so I make sure I get to spend time with them, because there's only so much time you have before they leave you. But I also find time with exercise and me time, and I've really made that a priority over the last year. So if projects get behind, that's a-okay, but I need to make sure that I'm well. And so yeah, I've become a Peloton addict in the last 6 months, and but I've also, what I've done is created a group here at Ohio State where there's fellows and colleagues that we all bike, and so we're part of challenges, and we have this camaraderie of each other and promoting each other to be healthy, both physically and mentally, and so that's helpful. And then for me personally, when I help others, I feel so satisfied. So being able to be part of the college's initiatives for well-being has been so fulfilling for me.
All right, and next, and I think that this is an important one. How do we assure that any of the extra workload that has been brought on by COVID is not something that's carried into the post-COVID world? I know cardiologists were, some were working in an emergency department, some had to pick up extra hours to do this. It seems that over time, cardiologists have continued to pick up small tasks that have now become ingrained in their day-to-day lives. How do we make sure that some of the extra responsibilities brought on by this pandemic aren't carried into the post-COVID world and become ingrained into the everyday lives of cardiologists?
That's a great question, because even like in when electronic health records came out, when other allied professionals would say, well, that's out of my scope, that's out of my scope, it was just easy to tack it on to the physician or the nurse practitioner and say, well, you're at the top of the totem pole, you do it, you do it. And we just kept on adding, and that's where we're in this like ridiculous amount of administrative work. And I think that's the same, like people are doing excessive work, and I think that the organizations that allow people to cut back, great. But there's going to be organizations where people don't have that choice. And that is why I firmly believe that medical societies like the American College of Cardiology, the American Heart Association, are working like on this consensus state document that of what organizations need to be due. So the person who doesn't have the voice has it through these types of documents. And I think the ACC and others, like with the AMA and ACP are advocating for change and stuff, and I think we need to share our stories. The leaders need to hear it. And finally, at some point, we have to talk about a well-being metric that organizations need to be held up to. Just as there's the satisfaction scores, patient satisfaction scores and quality metrics. One of the biggest quality metrics is really going to be clinician satisfaction and well-being, because if they're not well, that really negatively impacts the quality of care and even patient satisfaction. So I think that we need to be pushing for things like that. But it's going, we need to actively take time for ourselves, and we need to, as professionals, need to acknowledge our own well-being is essential.
All right. Thank you again for that insight. And now, before I let you go, was there anything else that you wanted to mention about this study or burnout in general that you think it's important to touch on?
One of the things that I wanted to add really is that we need to be making sure that our work environments are also inclusive, and people feel that they belong. Discrimination and harassment in the cardiovascular workforce is a real thing, and it's happening every day across the globe, and it's unacceptable. And it does tie into the mental health and the well-being of our profession. And we need to be advocating for change there as well. And we need to be promoting more diverse people to come into the field of medicine. One of the things that's been shown in our burnout data is that those who are not burned out, about 70% will say would recommend a career in cardiology, but those who are burned out, it's less than 40% that say you should come into the field of cardiology. We need more cardiologists worldwide, but that will only change as we make it more of a supportive environment, as well as an environment that includes a culture of wellness.
All right, thank you again to Dr. Mehta for taking part in the interview and giving us insight not only into the study, but into her own life and how she's been impacted by this COVID-19 pandemic. Now, that's it for this special edition episode of the Practical Cardiology Podcast. For the latest in cardiology or for anything else you might have missed from ACC21, be sure to head to practicalcardiology.com. Thank you for listening.